Okay, turning me to Joel 2. To me, this is the most important. Because at the end of the day, I want to share my heart with you. Again, I want to make it very clear. This has nothing to do with one thing ministry. I'm not interested in one thing ministry. It's always about God. It's always about the destiny of the nations. And in that, we want to say yes to God. Remember I said this? Destiny of the nation is in the hand of God. In the hand of God's people. That's why how then shall we respond? It's so vital. It's so critical. It's so important because we can turn the tide. We can. Even in the midst of all this escalating crisis, if we respond in accordance to the heart and the way of God, we can turn the tide. We can. And Singapore can be different. It will be different. Okay. Again, during the 50-day fast, God spoke to me. You know, we are praying for this. He said this very clearly to me, that you are living in unusual times and extraordinary hour, where I require a radical response from my people. See, radical response, that's where we also need to redefine radical. Radical in the Bible is not about doing great tasks. Radical in the Bible is about you responding to God faithfully and consistently. See, it's harder to walk with God consistently for the last 20 years than you just do a big task for 1 month. But God requires a radical response. Take me to Joel 2. Joel 2. I'm going to share your heart. That's something that God really spoke to me during the JDOP. You know, it's like, man, it's like, wow, JDOP. Yeah, I was there. Can I be there? No, it's okay. Yeah, it's like so shocked, though. Yeah, I was there. But don't tell the whole world. I lost my reward. Yeah. I was there just to make up number. Even though that is important. I can't remember where I sit. Yeah, okay. Joel 2. No, I'm just kidding. We can kid. Joel 2. Because Joel 2, verse 12 to 7. You need to understand this. The Bible do not keep us guessing how we should respond. God give us very clear word. And to me, the clearest passage of scripture that tells us how to respond in time of crisis is Joel 2, verse 12 to 17. It's a very kind of response that God requires, inverted comma. And he insists. And it's not an option. It's really, really not an option. So we need to understand. Let me just quickly paint the context so that you understand what the book of Joel is about, and that if you study the book of Joel, you'll realize that there is such similarity between what happened in Joel's time and what we are seeing. That we need to understand. This is important. If you understand the book of Joel, is the nation of Israel really in crisis? Just three chapter book. It's a very simple three chapter book. Okay. The main theme is Day of the Lord. Chapter 1, past Day of the Lord. Chapter 2, future near future Day of the Lord. Chapter 3, far future of the day of the Lord, which is primarily referring to end of the age. Okay, but there is a huge similarity because if I understand the context, the nation of Israel was really in crisis, serious crisis. And out of God's grace, God sent prophet Joel to give that clear a word about how you should respond as a nation. And if you respond correctly, God will turn. God will turn, okay? So the context really is the nation of Israel in crisis. Joel 1, okay? Joel 1. If you're familiar with the book of Joel, Joel 1 is that Joel talks about that locust invasion, unprecedented locust invasion. No, this is a real event. Go and search. It's real event. There was that locust invasions around 6... I can't remember the dates, about 620 to 600 BC, that totally wiped out the nation of Israel agriculture. Okay, you must understand, that is economic crisis. Because during those times, their primary, the primary economy is agriculture. So when locusts came, wiped out everything. Okay, the whole economy collapsed and it was crisis, it was chamber. Okay, so that is in the context of Joel 1. Joel is trying to explain what actually happened, but when he realized what happened, he's saying this is only a precursor of a greater crisis that is to come. Which leads us to Joel 2, where prophet Joel is warned the nation of Israel about an impending crisis that is coming. Which is the invasion of a Babylonian army led by Nebuchadnezzar. Eventually, in 586 BC, they totally wiped out Israel. That's where you have the book of Daniel, because there are a group of young men being exiled to Babylon for a season. Okay, you must understand, Joel 2, when Joel prophesied about the coming crisis, is about 14 years before Nebuchadnezzar army came. That is grace. That is mercy of God. Because every time before a crisis comes, God will warn. You know why God warned? It's not just because you're going to show off, see, I'm going to do something so that you'll tremble. No. You know why it's grace? He wants the people of God to truly understand. Because if we respond correctly, we can turn the tide. See, unfortunately, if you study the book of Joel, nation of Israel did not respond. And the rest is history. I suspect, I have no way to prove it. I suspect if Israel responded in accordance to the heart of God, history will be rewritten. That's why we need to understand that what is the very thing that God wants us to respond as the body of Christ, so that Singapore will not just Singapore. I'm praying beyond just Singapore. I'm praying for our generations. We are living in the exciting generation. So I'm going to run through briefly, just very quick, a couple of verses in Joel 2. Primarily, I'm going to run through verse 12. Verse 12, 17. It's going to be a quick one because everything is in the notes. But I want to emphasize certain things. Turn me to Joel 2, verse 1. Joel 2, verse 1. You start off with this. Joel said this. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Let me read one more time. This is a huge verse. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Firstly, the call of Joel is not for unbelievers. It's for the people of God. Say, blow the trumpet in Zion. Because it's a call to the people of God so that we understand, we know the required response. But more importantly, in any crisis, the responsibility and the opportunity is in the hand of God. That's why I love what Peter Wagner said. History is in the hand of intercessors. If we pray, we can change. But of course, always have to be in accordance to the heart of God, okay? Blow the trumpet in Zion. If you read the whole Joel chapter 2, two times the word blow the trumpet is mentioned. First time is in verse 1. Second time is in verse 15, okay? Because it's twofold aspect. The first one is to warn. So we need to speak. We need to our voices to come out to warn people of what kind of crisis that is coming. I think it's good to preach positive message, but we also have to warn what is negative so that we can respond positively, so that we will have a positive outcome. So verse 1 is about warning when he blow the trumpet. Then there's a second time is verse 15, is to gather. The blowing of the trumpet is to gather, okay? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm. You know why sounding an alarm? In a way, we are sounding an alarm right now. Sounding an alarm basically means to agitate, to alert, to cause an awakening, to disrupt. Imagine, this building has lots of fire alarm. If someone suddenly just hit the fire alarm, what is the response? Something must be happening. No, it's true. That's why there is a responsibility for the people of God to arise with clarity and speak. Firstly, to people of God, then to nations. We cannot presume we cannot assume everything will be okay. Or we need to understand that God is not silent. He's not neutral. So we have to blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. No, I was telling my guys that I do this today's event with fear and trembling, because the last thing I want is people call me a cult. Or some big shot of being negative. But I say yes to God because the Bible said, sound the alarm. We all have to sound the alarm so that people are awakened. People are being disrupted. You know, disrupted for what? So that we don't live life business as usual. We are living in serious time. That's why the title is called Extreme Times Require Extreme Measure. We have to rearrange our life, reprioritize things to fit into what God desires, not what we think is best. So blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. There's another thing. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. You see, you realize the word is all the inhabitants of the land. So it's not just for some big shot like Lai King or Lawrence Kong or whoever. Everybody needs to be awakened. Everybody, the people of God, need to know. You know what this trembling means? No, the issue is not instill fear. In Christ, in God, we should always have confidence because He is always leading. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, thanks be to God who always lead us in triumphant procession. We will win. We shall prevail. We will overcome. So when you talk about why inhabitants of the land tremble, it's not to instill fear. It's to cause heart to be stirred so that we respond in accordance to the heart of God. So that we will be intentional. We will be deliberate. We will rearrange our priorities. Let's go to verse 12. I'm going to say it quick. Verse 12. Joel 2 verse 12. Clearest description of what God requires of us in the midst of crisis. It's like a roadmap. It's like an instruction. If you ask me, so what should we respond? Joel 2. My heart is this. I'm praying that God will birth a nationwide Joel 2 lifestyle. If it's day, I'll share what I feel. Okay, I'm going to go quick. Okay. You see, again, it's not good enough to simply know information about Joel 2. We have to respond. It's vital for us to respond, rearrange, reprioritize. No, it's huge. Have you heard of this principle of the Bible? If... then, if we respond in accordance to what God wants, then God will respond. What is 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people call by my name, so on and so on and so on, then I will hear from heaven. That is a required response of God. See, so we cannot assume that everything will be automatically panned out. A lot is determined by how the people of God respond. This important principle, if and then. Now, I always say, if you read Joel 2, it's vital because we are talking about some sort of crisis, right? We need a Joel 2 respond. You know what it leads to? It leads to Acts 2 works of God. Because if you read this carefully, if you read from verse 18 to verse 32, you know what God promised? Supernatural provision, unprecedented breaking of the Holy Spirit. You know how this thing comes forth is the result of if we respond in accordance with Joel 2, verse 12 to verse 17. If you turn to me wholehearted and so on and so on. Then verse 18, which is a transition point. Then, verse 18 said this, then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity for his people. Basically describing God will heal the land. He will cause aversion of disaster, restoration and healing. And of course, lead to something further, which we always talk about, which is verse 28. The promise of breaking in of the Holy Spirit is the result of Joel 2 response. That's why this is vital. We need to respond in accordance to how the Word of God describes. Okay, I'm going to run through again quickly. Verse 12, Joel 2, we call it Joel 2 lifestyle or Joel 2 respond. Basically, it's verse 12 to verse 17. Verse 12 to 14 is individual respond. You can't blame that, hey, my church doesn't do this. You still can respond. Then verse 15 to verse 17 is a corporate response. That's where I want to share a little bit by my heart. Okay, again, it's a suggestion. Okay. Verse 12 to 14 is individual response. Verse 15 to verse 17 is a corporate response. It's a corporate response. There are four individual response. I'm going to do it quick. Verse 12. The first thing is this. The first thing, turn to God with wholeheartedness. Turn to God with wholeheartedness. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. We have to start talking about turning back to God. Make a first and a great commandment to be number one. We need to turn back to God with wholeheartedness. It has to be a message. It's time. We have to turn. Because we can't expect the nation to turn if the church is not. Turn to God with wholeheartedness. Of course, the expression is with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. That means we need to get back to fasting and engaging the Lord in prayers. Okay. The second response is verse 13. Verse 13. I call it living our life in full agreement with God. Obedience. I know, like what Lai King shared just now, that it's unfortunate and it's sad, and we really have to pray because the church is also struggling with sin. We have to get serious with sin now. You see, we do lose a little bit of credibility and authority to talk about this LGBT issue. It's because the church is struggling with many sins. We have to come back and get right with God and ask God for grace so that we will shine even brighter. The second response is this. Rend your heart, not your garments. Rend your heart, not your garment. Basically, live our life in full agreement with God. I call it obedience. You know what? You understand? You go back to the ancient culture so they understand, because traditionally they always go through an act, you know, they are in sin, they would tear their garment, they'll put ashes on their head, hit their head, and so on. So basically, yeah, that's what they do. You know, even you see right now in Middle Eastern people, you know, ashes, they hit their chest and so on. Okay. So even ancient Jewish, they do practice that. You know, you read a story of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, when they are found with sin, they would tear their robe and garment. It's like showing that, oh, I'm wrong, I repent. This is wrong. Okay. You know what God basically is saying? Rend your heart, not your garment. Don't just do it superficially. You have to go beyond the surface. Deal with our struggle with sin radically. With the spiritual violence. Call it tear it out. That's what Jesus said. What did he say in Matthew chapter 5? If your right eye causes you to sin, what do? Poke it out. Don't do it literally. Yeah. If not, then this week, someone come, one eye gone. And hey, another eye gone. So I know it's a struggle. No. That basically means deal with it radically. Not in pretense or superficial. You see, same context. You just say, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Okay, don't do it literally. It's about do business with God seriously. No, there is grace. There's always grace. And to me, I keep telling everyone, no, even my guys especially, it's no time. This is not the time to play games. Come clean with God. There is grace. He loves you. The better thing is, he knows what's your struggle, isn't it? So just tell him. Ask him for grace, but don't stay in the place of compromise. Don't. That is a second personal response. Third one. We need to cultivate this confidence in God. We need to have confidence in God. That's why I ask the questions. Is Jesus still leading the American churches, or Jesus is not, with all that's happening? He is. We need to have confidence, even in the midst. That's why it's so vital that we need to have confidence in God. One of the most important elements to cultivate at the end of the age is the word confidence. We need to have confidence in God. We have to. Confidence in God. That's why the word says, return to the Lord, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. We need to know who is our God. We need to. Not about God. We need to know who is our God personally, everyone. We need to have history with God. It's time that we need to have history with God, that we know him. The fourth one, understanding the perhaps of God. Let me read, then I'll tell you what this means. You see, verse 13 says this, return to the Lord your God, for his gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Verse 14 says this, who knows if he will turn and relent. I call it the perhaps of God. perhaps. That means he can push it back or he can change his mind. It's true. You see, we need to understand this vital principle. Yes, moral crisis is escalating, but we can turn the tide. The response of the people of God can avert a disaster or a crisis. Power is in the hand of intercessor. We can transform a would-be disaster zone into a revival center. It's not the end until, American will call it, until the fat woman sing or something. I don't know what it means. It's not the end. That's why, remember, I said there are four kinds of church. The third one is surrender church. We don't concede defeat. We pray. We have to respond correctly, and that's where we need to. No, it's powerful. But perhaps of God. Turn with me to Jonah. Jonah. We all need to understand so that we are not praying in hopelessness. Our prayer turns the hand of God. Do you know that the most powerful thing you can do is to pray? Because you move boundaries. You shift kingdom. Simply because we all call it, talk to God in the room where it seems like very boring. But do you know that even weak prayers move the heart of God? So we must understand that the perhaps of God. Turn me to Jonah. Jonah. I'm talking faster and faster because the clock make me hurry. Jonah. If you understand the story of Jonah is that God is about to judge Nineveh. So he sent prophet Jonah to give a warning. Okay, we all call Jonah coward because you don't understand the context. Nineveh is like the more ancient days of Nazi Germany. They kill, they persecuted Jews. So to ask him to talk to this guy that will kill him, he said no. That's why he ran away. So he got swallowed by a fish. Okay, the Bible says fish. It's not whale. Okay, will is Pinocchio. Okay, so you have to understand. But eventually, he relented and he went. He warned the king of Nineveh. Hear the response. The king of Nineveh is not even a believer. God changed his mind. That means if we pray, if we understand the perhaps of God, things can shift. So we pray with confidence. Not this, not sure. Don't know whether we'll win in the end. No, God can change the tide. Listen to this. Jonah 3, verse 2. Jonah. So the people of Nineveh believe God, proclaim a fast, put on sackcloth. Verse 6. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, lay aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Okay, this in the context of, I say, rend your heart, not your garment. So don't just sit on ashes, okay? No, that don't count. Okay, verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, listen to this, he's responding. He's not even a believer, but he's responding to God. Okay, verse 7 says, neither men nor beasts, herb nor flock. I tell you, this is serious. Not just men fast. Even animals don't eat. Just like now, 50-day Love Singapore fast. Your dog shouldn't eat. Don't feed the goldfish. Because it's serious. No, yes, that is one of the solutions. It's serious. So they call a fast. Let neither man nor beast, herb nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink drinks. And so on and so on. Let's go to verse 10. No, let's go to verse 8. Listen to verse 8. That's the perhaps of God. Who can tell if God turn and relent? Turn away from his face. No, turn away from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. We can turn the tide if we know how to respond. Listen to verse 10. God changed his mind. That's why Jonah was a little bit upset. Oh, you call me all the things, send big fish. Then you do this. Because Jonah didn't understand the mercy of God. See, God does not want to judge. You know why he wants to send judgment? Is to remove everything that hinders love. And every time God is going to send major judgment, he always gives time. Why? Because he wants mankind to turn. That's why he's a merciful God. Listen to his response. That's why we need to understand this perhaps of God. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turn from their wicked way, not the people of God. God relented from disasters that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Perhaps of God. We need to understand that our prayers does turn the hand of God. Okay, so this is a fourfold response. Verse 15 to 17. Now is a corporate response. I will again say lovingly. It's not optional. It's not optional. I'm going to run this through quickly. I'm going to share my heart and we see how it goes. Okay. Verse 15 to verse 17 is the call to gather to pray. Hey, that's why I'm excited that I'm seeing like Love Singapore every morning there is that prayer meetings. No, this is not just some good program if you know. It's the heart of God. You know, I always say this. 24/7 house of prayer is not a goal. It's a requirement. It's necessary. If we see this as a goal, I mean, let's say tomorrow we 24/7, so what's next? No. We are praying so that God's grace will come to the land. All this prayer meeting, and I want to encourage you, go to any prayer meetings. Go to the Love Singapore morning prayer and so on. Go. We make a difference. That's why I go to JDOP, even though I'm sitting somewhere. I make a difference. No, yeah, 50,000. See, if every one of us think this way, no, 50,000 will be there. I don't show up, it's okay. There'll be 49,999. And more think that way, no one will show up. Because when we begin to think that even I show up, one person makes the difference. See, you have to know, it makes a difference. God wants corporate assembly. That's why I love the JDOB. I tell you what God spoke to me. I was kind of like, later I'll tell you the story. Okay. Call together for secret assembly. The verse said this, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. This is the second time. The emphasis here is not warning anymore. The emphasis here is to call together, to rally. Why? Serious time is coming. We have to pray. As a people of God. 5-4 emphases. Going to do it quick. First one, that's verse 15. Consecrate a fast. Consecrate a fast. It means corporate and long-term pressing in through prayer, through fasting. Through fasting. Guys, can I share my heart along the way? I'm going to say this. My prayer is this. May God birth a nationwide prayer chain. No, fasting chain. We did it from January to going to be the end. That we had about 600 over people sign up fasting. Some people actually give me feedback. They say this, I've never fast before, but I didn't realize it, man. What is good about the fasting? Because it opened up my heart. I'm going to share my heart with you. My dream is that we're going to have a nationwide fasting chain. Every day there's someone fasting for Singapore. 365 days. Here already we have about 150. Each one take 2 days, we cover already. No, I'm saying the key is this. We fast in our house of prayer. But you need to understand this is about the corporate body of Christ. It's not about one thing ministry or Love Singapore. Imagine. If Singapore has an all nation, every day someone is like watchman on the wall fasting for Singapore, what do you think Singapore will turn out? Can't be bad, isn't it? Because God will hear our prayers. I'm fasting for my nation. I'm fasting for the next generation. I'm fasting for the glory of God to come upon Singapore. We haven't lived out the fullness of our Antioch calling yet. What are we waiting for? We have to fast. I'm already, I can do it. No, please understand, this is not about one thing ministry. We don't benefit a soul. I'm just sharing the heart. I can administer, I can come up with, fill in. And in fact, my idea is the day you fast, let's say the day you fast and prayer have to come together. If not, it's dieting. No, it's true. If you fast, you don't do anything, then why fast? That is dieting for losing weight. If that day you sign up to fast, go to Love Singapore Morning Prayers. We can do it. No, I don't want to suggest here because then people say, yeah, it's for my prayer meeting. No, I don't care. In fact, I say, another thing is, God put in my heart is this, it would be marvelous if every month we have a corporate secret assembly. We come to pray for our nations. This is not about your church, my church, your ministry, my ministry, your prayer network, my prayer network. It's about God's heart. It's about God's heart. It's like consecrate a fast. Second, call a sacred assembly. You know why call a sacred assembly? You know why call a sacred assembly? It's not man's agenda. It's God's agenda. That's why it's sacred. It's God's agenda. And that's how I always want to emphasize. This is not Kei Chong's idea. If Kei Chong's idea, please kill it. I'll find it too bothersome too. No, it's God's requirement. It's God's desire. It's not man's agenda. And I will say this, not for a season. Imagine we fast. This is Jubilee. I'm unlikely to be around next Jubilee. So he's, I better don't say about Lai King because she may go much further. Okay. Imagine we start a fasting chain and corporate sacred assembly until the next 50 years. What do you think would Singapore would turn out? If I'm looking down from heaven down, oh, I'm going to throw him more, I'm going to applause. I know, Lai King and myself say, remember, today is what? July 25th, we talk about that. It's a reality. We'll be applauding, cheering you from heaven. We can dream to all nationwide where we fast for our next generation, for our nation, for the glory of God to go forth. It's not about us. It's about the fame of Jesus and the advancing of the kingdom of God. So the second thing, call a sacred assembly. Third one, fasten your seatbelt. Okay. Fasten a seatbelt. Because I'm going to prove it from the Bible because so that people won't know, oh, this is my agenda. Third one, what does the Bible say? Gather the people. You know what this means? No one is exempted. Because Joel actually lists out all the category of people. The first one is what? Elders. Who are the elders? Leaders. Church leaders. Talk about children. Get children to prayer meetings. That's why for us, our main meetings in this house is prayer meetings. And our children comes. Because God said, even nursing babes, read, nursing babes. And the next one, bridegroom and bride. You know, the issue is not you cannot go for honeymoon. Because I always joke this. Okay, a few guys getting married. Don't go too far. Come back for prayer meeting. You want to go overseas, go Sentosa. Yeah, it's overseas. You can go by air. That's cable car. Last time can come back by sea. Now cannot already. No, it's a seriousness. My bridegroom and bride. It's because God said it's so critical. It's so important. We have to rearrange our schedule. Rearrange our priorities. No, if you say when I'm free, I do it, we will never do it. No, it's serious. Mark my word. 10 years will pass by like a minute. It's true. Decision to decide is now, not tomorrow. So that's why we have to rearrange. No, this again, you say, yeah, you're a house of prayer guy. That's why you talk about prayer meeting. Listen, God, when the first time God tell me to do 24/7 house of prayer, you know what was my response? I got depressed for a day. I don't say this because I'm the prayer guy. In fact, I hate it when people say, you are the prayer guy. What do you mean? I'm the prayer guy, you're not the prayer guy. Is there such a thing? How does the Bible define? No, how does God define the church? My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nation. Everybody is the intercessors. Jesus, you love, right? Some, what kind of English is that? Do you love Jesus? Oh, you don't? Okay, I'm speaking to the wrong crowd. What do you think is a full-time job of Jesus right now? Interceding day and night, night and day. So this is not because I'm the house of prayer guy. No, I didn't sign up for a house of prayer. God ambushed me. Talk to my wife, I got depressed for one day. I said, no, I'm not the kind. No, no. But that because it's God's requirement. See, the point is that it's so important, we have to make it a priority. Next one, fourth one. Verse 16. Sanctify the congregation. You know why sanctify the congregation? Set apart the meeting to make it as a top priority. No, I'm not asking you to shut down all things. Because people always say, oh, your ministry is called one thing ministry, so you need to do one thing. No, we don't just do one thing. We actually are quite busy one. Recently, more people come on staff. They thought all they do is love God, pray, and so on. Oh, so much thing to do. I must feed the poor, must whatever. That's what ministry is about. You see, Jesus didn't say, only thing is needed. One thing is needed. So when I say, when the Bible says sanctify the congregation, it's not about that, you know, close every meetings and so on, but set it as a top priority in coming to pray. And again, I want to say lovingly, if you are a leader, you don't show up for prayer meetings, your member will not show up. Eventually, the prayer meetings will die. You have to lead by example. That's why every time I tell my guys that as long as the door is open here, our house, there's a prayer meeting, if I'm not out of town, I will be here. Not because I'm the leader, I have to lead by example, because that is the requirement of God. We need that, okay? And fifth one, verse 17 to 18, I'm going to read through because I'm going to just share my heart, then we're going to pray and then we're going to go, okay? Yeah? Basically, it's give ourselves earnestly to the call of prayers. Because that is that requirement of God in the midst of crisis. In the midst of crisis. You know, let me just close this by sharing what the Lord spoke to me about during JDOP. I'll be very honest, okay? I went there, I know I tell my guys, I was tired because it was early day. I went to preach in the church and so on. I was tired. Then I went there. Someone told me that National Stadium would be air-conditioned. So I went there and said, bluff me one. Thank God I was wearing Bermuda, okay? I was tired. I feel hot. The music was loud, man. My ears was about to blow. You know, along the way, my row, everybody took out tissue paper and stuck two pieces of paper there and so on. And so I'm not like, I want to go there and make a difference because I know it's important. So know where I'm coming from. I just let you see what I'm trying to say. It's like, I was kind of tired and so on. I wasn't exactly very enthusiastic, but I said, I'm going to be there to pray. Just obey and so on. Hot, tired, and so on. And let me tell you what is the most anointed moment that day to me. When Tony Yeo, right, the chairman of JDOP, went up to the stage. You're going to explain why it's 4:14 and 7:14. Okay. Then we're going to talk about 7:14. He read that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Hold my emotion. If my people call by my name, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Do you know that's a summary of Job 2? Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. When he read that, it's like lightning, thunder strike me. It's like God spoke. This is what it is about in my heart. I saw a text liking later. This is what it is about. I began to look around. 50,000 people. I said, if this is daily, don't need 50,000, just 1,000. If this is daily. You know, God spoke to me and I said, Kichong, look to next verse. See, we often stop at verse 14. I don't want to just do the verse 14. I want to see verse 15. Why don't we all turn to verse 2 Chronicles 7:15 and read together? So whatever versions. Chronicles 7:15. God spoke to me about read the next verse. And I know when I turn to it, because my guy said, how come suddenly you search a scripture? Because God was speaking. And I told the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just, no, I want to do, I will do. 2 Corinthians verse chapter 7, verse 14. But I want to see verse 15. Why is verse 15? Let's read together. Now, attentive. Wow, imagined. You know, 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9, the Bible says this. God said, my eyes run through and through throughout the whole earth. I'm looking for a man whose heart is loyal. Imagine when God looked down at Singapore because we gather for corporate sacred assembly. Not in the name of anybody's church. I think that's not unimportant. But for the glory of God's kingdom. And God said, my eyes is opened. My ear is attentive to your cry. Wow. Wow. That's what I felt that God is saying. If we can have a nationwide fasting chain, 365 days. I always say, start at 12 a.m., stop at 12:01. The next day, in case people start late, I say, oh, one more minute. Come on, you can give much more than 1 minute to God. He deserves it. Hey, no, he deserves it. Sometimes I'm scolding him. No, he's worthy. If we can have that, 306. I tell you, God put in my heart to call for that fasting, not fast food chain, okay? Fasting chain from January 1st to August 9th. I didn't do it with great confidence. You know, who am I? You know, who will listen to me? So I kind of tell the king, you know, yeah, can you go and trumpet? Lo and behold, you know, we have about 600 over people who participated. Even people who has never fasted before, they tell me, they kind of text me and say, Kei Chong, thank you for calling this fast. I never fast before, but I fasted and I realized that I can fast. And there's this young girl that texts me. I'm so excited. She said, this is what exactly she texts me. Okay? What's that? Thank you for inviting me into this fast. My heart is coming so alive. God's requirement, if we can, and our nations will have hope in the midst of this crisis, because it's in our hand, amen,